The major cloud provider that you depend upon goes down at 9:14 a.m. on a Tuesday. Your point of sale systems in your stores stop working. Your call center agents can't log in. Your customer-facing app is throwing 500 errors. Your finance team can't close out the month. Your warehouse can't print labels. And the first thing your CEO does is pick up the phone, call the CIO, and ask one question. When does this get fixed? And they hang up and they wait. That phone call is the failure. Silence in the face of disruption is not a strategy. Wait and see while IT works on the servers is a fatal error. Cyber events and cloud outages are whole business crises, not just an IT incident. And if your executive team is still treating this like an IT incident in 2026, you are about to learn the hard way that this isn't going to be easy. I'm Brian Strauser, Principal and Chief Executive here at Brightpath, and this is the Managing Uncertainty Podcast. Today's episode is very short and direct. I want to push back on something that I see in almost every executive team that I work with, and that's the idea that a cyber event, a ransomware incident, or a cloud outage is fundamentally just an IT problem. It's not, and it never has been. And the longer that your executive team thinks of it and treats it in this way, the more damage you're going to take when one of these events lands on your organization. So I want to walk you through three things. First, the reaction I see with executives who default when the technology goes down, what they default to. Second, why this perimeter mindset and the IT-only playbook are both broken. And third, what your executive team actually needs to do differently, starting now, not after the next incident. So let's get into it. Here's the scenario that I want you to sit with for a minute. A major cloud provider goes down, or a ransomware actor encrypts your operational systems in the early morning, or a third-party SaaS provider that you depend upon runs your supply chain platform takes a hit and goes offline. The pattern I see with executive teams when we first start working with them is always the same. The CEO calls the CIO or CTO. The CIO says, well, we're working on it. The CEO hangs up. The executive team just goes back to whatever they were doing. The CIO and the technology team then go to war against the technical problem. And don't get me wrong, this is important, but it's not the whole story. And everybody else waits. That's the dangerous reaction. And it's dangerous for a reason that most executives don't understand until they're in the middle of such an event. While the IT team is fighting the technical fire, the rest of the incident, the bigger fire, is spreading. Transactions are halting, your call center is offline, customers can't reach you, your social media team is watching complaints stack up, your contact center is getting hammered, your sales team is missing the quarter, your regulators are starting to take notice, the trade press is getting tipped off, and your largest customer is calling their account executive and going, what's going on? None of that gets solved by just restoring the servers. The technical recovery, absolutely necessary. That alone is not sufficient. And the people who can solve everything else are not in the data center. They probably don't even work for the CIO. They're waiting in the executive conference room, waiting on the CIO to call them back. That's the trap. This entire thing has been outsourced, the whole crisis, to the CIO. And the CIO has authority over maybe 10% of the overall problem. There's a second failure pattern that compounds the first, and I just call it the illusion of outsourced resilience. Over the last 10 to 15 years, many companies have moved their critical operations to the cloud. I've moved my critical operations to the cloud. They've outsourced platforms and applications, infrastructure, identity, and in a lot of cases, the security operations center itself is outsourced to an eyes on glass provider. The pitch from the providers is consistent. Don't worry about resilience, we'll handle it. Multi-region, multi-AZ, active-active, five nines. And we all believed it. I sit in resilience evaluations where I say, what's your plan if your primary cloud provider has a major outage that lasts for more than a few hours? And the answer is some version of, well, that won't happen. Or, well, we have a contract and they can't allow that to happen. Or our cloud provider has a multi-region setup. That's cool. That's not a plan. That's hope. The 2024 CrowdStrike outage is a good example of this. AWS outages the last couple of years taught us this. The 2025 Microsoft 365 disruption should have taught us this. The next one will teach us all over again. The cloud is not a substitute for a resilience program or an operating model. The cloud is infrastructure. Resilience is a capability, and these are just not the same thing. The moment that you treat your cloud contract as your business continuity plan, you have given up the ability for you to make decisions that are best for your business when your cloud provider has a bad day. So what does the alternative look like? There's three shifts, and I want you to think about these and take them in order. The first shift is from perimeter to posture. This old model of security and resilience assumed that you could keep all this bad stuff outside of your four walls. Build the wall higher, the bad stuff stays out. Put better controls in place, the bad stuff stays out. That model's dead. That wall has too many doors, too many ways around it. Your employees use cloud apps the security team's never heard of. Your data sits in places that nobody has fully mapped, and your supply chain reaches into systems that you don't own. You cannot build a perimeter around that. You can build a posture. You can build detection and adaptability and recovery, and you should operate with the assumption that you're going to be hit someday, and then you need to have the muscle to keep operating when that happens. The second shift is to move from technical metrics to business metrics, and we've talked about this in a lot of different ways over the years. I sit in boardrooms and conference rooms where the CISO presents firewall information and patch compliance percentages. The directors smile and nod, and nobody really learns anything useful. The metrics that matter to a board are the ones tied to revenue, uptime, customer trust, the time it takes to make a decision under stress, and whether or not you're achieving the organization's strategic objectives. Your security and resilience leaders have to speak that language, the business language. And if they can't, then that's a problem for the CEO to fix. The third shift is to move from silos to an integrated strategy. ITDR, business continuity, crisis management, crisis communications can't live in four different reporting lines that meet once a quarter. They have to operate as a single resilience capability. One operating model, one set of plans that connect to each other. Most organizations have these parts. Very few of them have the system. So let me make this concrete for you. Three moves that your executive team can make in the next 90 days. The first one, run a tabletop exercise that reflects this approach and doesn't just delegate the issue to IT. You need to stop running exercises where the technical team restores the system and everyone claps. You need to run an exercise where the cloud provider's down and it's not coming back for 8 to 12 to 24 hours. Where ransomware has encrypted your core operational systems and the technical recovery is going to take 5 days. Where your comms platform itself is the system that went down. Force your executive team to make decisions with bad information, impartial information, slow timelines, and there's no easy way out. That is the work. Move two, make sure that your plans define decision-making rights before your next incident. Who can take systems offline preemptively? Note, that should be as far down in the organization as you can possibly tolerate. Who decides whether to pay a ransom? What's your decision-making framework? Who talks to regulators? Who speaks to the press? Who calls your largest customers? If you can't answer these questions in a calm conference room on a Tuesday afternoon, you're not going to answer them at 3 o'clock in the morning during a crisis. Move three, build an integrated resilience operating model. Connect IT disaster recovery to business continuity, to crisis management, to crisis communications with one leader accountable for this integrated system. It doesn't mean that they have to report to that person, but they need to have governance authority over those programs. One set of plans that reference each other, one governance approach where the executive team reviews program health on a regular cycle, not after the incident, before it. One thing before I wrap, crisis management and resilience programs are a governance issue. The board's role is to govern and support and assure. The board has to demand a resilience program that connects the technical, operational, and reputational sides of a disruption. They have to ask the CEO whether the program has been tested under realistic conditions. They have to ask whether the executive team has rehearsed the decisions that they're going to be asked to make. Management runs operations. The board's role here is to govern. And neither of them gets to outsource a cyber crisis to the CIO and then walk away. If your board's not asking these questions, that's a gap. If your executive team has not rehearsed these decisions, that is a gap. If your operating model treats all of the resilience domains as separate things, that's a gap. You need to find those gaps and close them before that next incident finds it for you. Here's the thought that I want to leave you with. In your next major technology failure, it is not an IT problem. It's a board problem. The technical recovery is one work stream in a crisis that probably has five or six. The cloud provider is one dependency in a system that you still own. And the CIO is one leader at the table that has to be full when that call comes in. Stop waiting on IT and your CIO to save the company. That's not how this works. It's really not how it's ever worked. And the next decade is going to make this painfully obvious for all of us. Cyber events are whole business crises, not an IT incident. So you should build your program in a way that operates like that. That's it for this edition of the Managing Uncertainty podcast. I'll be back next week with another new episode. Stay well.